suppose the year is just about wrapped up. In fact, if you're in the U.S., it is Thanksgiving week, and what a time to be thankful and grateful for a few things. And we were just briefly talking about where we're playing games right now and into the new year. And I want to focus on some of the platforms we play on, why we play on them, where we think they're going, and just kind of have a conversation about where do you see yourself playing games and what are the positives, like the things that you're grateful for in the setups and the systems that you have. And so I'm just going to like throw it out right away. What are you going to play the most in 2026? What platform?
That is a good question. Probably I'm seeing a lot more Steam Deck in my future. I've been playing it a lot the past few months. And I think I finally have a good routine down of like squeezing in a couple hours a day, like a little bit midday and then a little bit before bed. And it's been really helpful. It's how I've gotten so many hours into a couple games I've been playing recently, is purely just 30 minutes at a time on the Steam Deck. And so I think in an ideal world, I'm finishing a lot of my PS5 backlog. I'm having to rebuild my entire PC gaming setup in the house. So ideally, I'm getting use out of that after all the work. But Steam Deck is really rocking it for me at the moment.
So the PC ecosystem, I want to start there because for me, like, I'm on a rotation of mainly PC. I've been mainly a PC guy for the last 10 years, but a year ago I got a PlayStation 5 and we talked at length about this. I loved the ecosystem that it provided. It was so fun to buy discounted physical games, and then it works wonderfully on a TV, the wireless headset setup, all the stuff that I know you can do with a gaming PC on a TV, but there was just something so lovely and frictionless and honestly free of distractions for the most part on the PS5 ecosystem that I've been like in a washing machine, dude, tumbling around going, well, PC's great, I love it, the software prices. And then at the same time, every time I play the PlayStation 5, I'm like, this is super sick. But as we come into Steam winter sale season and as we come into this next year, I still deeply feel like the PC ecosystem empowers people to a degree that just makes a lot of sense. I'm not putting down any of the other platforms. I'm just saying, you mentioning the Steam Deck, I still want one of those. You know why? Because that Valve, you know, software library that I've built up over Steam over the years, the ability to take that on, well, any computer you build down the road, right? But also on the Steam Deck with the free cloud save things, it just makes so much sense to me. And maybe you could talk about that, as I don't have a Steam Deck. And it's been insane this year watching the popularity of the PC handhelds, and I think Steam Deck in particular, go through the roof. What is it like? You know, do you bounce between saves on your main desktop and the Steam Deck? And then the last question, do you believe like having a dedicated device that you play in a different room, does that make a difference like mentally for you?
It absolutely does. I cannot see myself getting in, which my game time is not that of a super sweaty hardcore gamer. I recognize that, but I've been tracking it every year on my channel. I've been looking at like my Steam replay and things like that, and I've been challenging myself to get more game time in every year, because for, you know, there are some years, especially with having just had a kid, where I am just like, I don't fit it in, and it's kind of bummed me out given my investment in the hardware and software side of things. So I have not, I do not see myself having been able to get the time that I have in on games without having a Steam Deck. A Switch could fill the role if I had those kinds of games. But yes, to your question about cross save, like, that is a huge factor for me, both for handheld on the go. Like, there are plenty of games that I will start playing on the standard desktop at my desk, and then I'm primarily playing them on Steam Deck once I realize it runs great there. And a lot of stuff I play these days is just so controller optimized, which is not historically my thing. And now, like, I play so many like roguelikes and hack and slash kind of games that are obviously mainly built for controller, that I end up like, it's great on the Steam Deck. And so passing it back and forth, I need to wait 30 seconds at most after saving and quitting a game before I put my Steam Deck to sleep for it to sync up to the cloud save, or else I start getting conflicts and everything freaks out. But otherwise, it's like mostly seamless. And the same thing, I am transitioning my kiddo's TV computer over to Linux running Steam Big Picture mode, treating it like Steam OS. And the same idea, like, there may be a game that like a bigger RPG, or like I'm replaying through Mass Effect because my Xbox died, so my saves are gone. So I'm replaying through Mass Effect so I can pick back up where I left off, and being able to do that in my own time, both at my prime. And I realize this is super first world, all the gaming that I have access to. I'm not going to pretend it's not. But at my primary desk, which is that weird kind of workspace, play space mix that isn't always the right thing. But like when I'm in the mode, I can play there. I can pick up and grind to start catching up on my Steam Deck as well. And then when I want to kick back with my wife, we can fire it up on the TV and game on the big screen and relax on the couch. And all of that is preserved without me having to transfer stuff back and forth. It's all just handled through Steam at the moment.
Yeah, see, and I like that simplicity. I have been craving deeply just the one ecosystem to really lean into. And yeah. I don't know, it's complete indecision and overthinking things. But looking at my Steam library, I've wanted a Steam Deck now for about a year, and I think I may pull the trigger if ever the means are there, if it makes sense, right? Because I just, Skyrim, Lunestis, Haste, yeah. Half-Life 2, Mirror's Edge, like so many, Fallout 4, so many of the games that I played this last year, that concept of being able to take it outside of the room with a desk and get that different feeling, to kick your feet up on the couch or maybe to sit in bed and just play 20 or 30 minutes. As I get older, I guess I am valuing more and more the benefit of a small game session. Yeah. And like time is just not there as much. And if you can get 15, 20 minutes in friction free, which it feels like the Steam Deck really lends itself to, I can't see a reason not to like that. I mean, I don't know how Baldur's Gate 3 runs on it, but I really think about certain games and not caring necessarily as much about the performance, but a really long RPG on a handheld that you can kick up your feet, play in bed, sounds so nice. And I think there's a reason why now, right? The rumor is the PlayStation 6 will have a handheld SKU. Nintendo Switch 2 absolutely was targeting some of that third-party support and messaging because of the Steam Deck. Like, it's clear they leaned into some of the performance side of things that they normally don't. This has had an impact in the way that people play. And you didn't mention it, but the upcoming Steam Machine, now they're kind of getting to the point where you could have the full ecosystem all with your Steam library and devices to play it kind of wherever you want to.
Yes. I was looking it up. So I will say I picked up my Steam Deck, my order. It shipped in July 2022. I'd say it took me a good year and a half before I personally wrapped my head around making it work for me. It was one of those things where when it came out, I was just like, that's silly. I have gaming PC. Caveman.
This is where I'm at, dude. Yeah. This is where I'm at. I'm trying to talk myself out of it.
That's dumb. And then I bought one out of FOMO. I missed the first wave of them at like the end of 2021. And I was just like, crap, I missed out. I need it. And so I stupidly bought it. And then, like I said, it took, I think it was Vampire Survivors at the end of 2022 is what I really got hooked on. And that was a perfect Steam Deck game. And then I went through even up until this year, like I would go 6 months barely touching it because I was gaming on the PC at the time. But this year in particular, I've had no time for that. And it's like, yeah, if I'm making like a hierarchy of my preferred way to play games, either on the TV, you know, fancy OLED TV or at the PC at the best specs, the best frame rates, the best resolutions, max settings, whatever would always be my ideal theoretical scenario. But that reduced friction you're talking about has been so important this year. I want to be able to just wherever I am play. And so I'm playing on the couch. I'm playing in bed. I've taken it to a couple places. Like my kiddos had a couple like get together kind of things where I am truly hands off. And so I'm firing that up. Those kinds of scenarios, it's been instrumental in me having any me time to game, especially with low friction, because all of my desk setups, I'm working with my in-house one to go down to one monitor, so I have less distraction. But you know, all of my desk setups are their game, their art, their work, their mixed use, and so that is where I can just like be fully immersed in that gaming world. With the Steam Machine, you get a lot on the technical side of things that makes it a huge deal, because you could just put a PC at your TV. And I think for a lot of people, that will be the preferred way. For a lot of scenarios, that will be my way. Like my kiddo already has that basically. But, and you could have gotten a dock for your Steam Deck. But I will say the Steam Deck's low specs play perfectly fine to the handheld play. I'd always love a little power, but it's fine. But blasting it up on a 4K TV is not a good time. The dock, yeah, the dock is rough.
Using it for the purpose that it was designed for, right?
Yeah. But with the Steam Machine, you get a bunch of those extra console features that are really hard, if not impossible, to get with a PC. And I'm talking about where you get to put it to sleep and wake it up with the controller, where you get to have it like be in a low power state to download updates and stuff in the background while it's asleep. Certain HDMI handshakes where you could, like, theoretically, if you had streaming set up, which again, there's no, we've talked about it on the podcast, there's no specific streaming apps on Steam, but you could set up launchers for things where it would interact decently enough with a remote. You could control it in some capacity with your normal TV remote, like you could a PS5. So there's lots of those little things that Valve has been engineering with specific, where you'd have to really hunt around for specific PC parts that support it and then really specific operating system variables to control to set any of that up. And it's a nightmare. Whereas with the Steam Machine, it would just work like it would on a console. And combine that with syncing that experience where, okay, you have a long commute or you play in bed a lot on your Steam Deck. And then you go sit down on the couch with some buddies or just for your normal routine. And you get to fire up the same game with the same save, ready to go. And there's something about that that is just incredible. And we've really seen minimal of that, even in the console space, until recently. Like, arguably, you could do that with the PS Portal now, but that's such a... so few people have it. And it's not running games natively on it when you're really out and about. And so a lot of people have obviously had issues with the network connectivity aspect of it and whatever. Whereas this is quite the ecosystem they're building up that I think is going to be compelling to some people.
Speaking of compelling, if we get this video out very quickly, the base Steam Deck is on sale for 20% off ePost.
Yeah.
It's trying my FOMO very difficult.
I will say,
it's tough right now.
I doubled down on not having an OLED.
I
was admittedly pretty miffed when they put out the OLED. Like, I think it probably came out 6 months after I finally got my hands on mine since I ordered late.
Yes.
And originally, like, all of their messaging was like repairability, upgradability. We want everything to be compatible. And they're like, well, we also made this different version with OLED and you can't put the OLED in the original. Sorry. And I was like super upset, especially as someone who upgraded to a Switch OLED when I did not play my Switch enough just because I loved the OLED that much.
Yes.
But honestly, like, sure, an OLED would be sweet. It would be great. I am someone who will not buy another normal computer or TV display that isn't OLED unless I absolutely have to. But on the handheld, I do not miss it. I don't think I'm missing out on anything. It would be great. It is not necessary. It does not. Very rarely am I like, man, the screen is detracting from my experience. Of all the parts in the Steam Deck, it's not that. And so I still have, and this is one of my terrible ADHD things, I have a box of physical upgrades for my Steam Deck in terms of like a new shell, technically a screen upgrade. It's not an OLED screen, but like the Hall Effect joysticks and all that. I've been sitting on that for like 6 months. I need to finally do it. And I know the moment I do it, it'll be 1 month out and they'll announce Steam Deck 2. But I'm doubling down on getting as much life as I can out of Steam Deck 1 before going OLED, before making any upgrades, like if they release upgraded hardware for it, anything like that. Because to me, that, like, circling back to the original topic of like, where are you gaming? Just having something that you stick with, that you game on, that becomes comfortable, reduces so much friction. With the Switch, every time I boot it up, which is like three times a year, I've got updates. I've got to figure out where everything is. I've got to figure out where my carts are, because I'll get this itch like I'm going to carry the Switch with me. And so I'll put all my carts in like the little cases that are in my Switch carry case. And then they're not in the game cases. I got to find them all again. And then there's system updates and whatever. It's not ideal. Whereas the Steam Deck that I'm regularly keeping charged and updated and installing the games I'm excited to play on it, removing the ones that I'm not, it becomes... I mean, it's like we had with consoles growing up. Like, it's that system that just feels like home. When you boot it up, you're ready to game.
Yep. And I think that's what I learned a lot about in the last year and a half, is removing friction wherever possible for any of the hobbies that you do. And it doesn't mean just go throw money at your hobby and you'll enjoy it more. That is a precautionary tale that I want to have. I think a lot of people do chase the spending of money so closely in relation to the hobby that it becomes like tied to it. And so sometimes people view the hobby as just spending money. Use what you got.
Yeah. I will say, I've been wanting to make like a a deep dive video on this for a while. I spicy take potentially, but I see at this point, like collecting games and even the act of buying games as a separate hobby from playing them. Now, playing them requires buying them, so it's not like you can't do both. But I think a lot of people, and I don't know how we have a conversation about it that benefits, but I think a lot of people really enjoy building the setups or buying and collecting the games more than the act of playing them. And I don't think there's a problem with that. I think there just needs to be internal clarity about which part you're actually trying to achieve.
See, I wanted to, that should be its own video. Why don't, hey everyone, check the link in the description below. We will make that a separate video because I agree. That's a full discussion point that I've had to battle a lot with this year because, again, I always have the continual draw of like, well, the game's on sale. I'd really like to pick it up. It seems like a good time to do it. And I've become a bit of a hoarder when it comes to things. I've got 5 or 6 games burning a hole in my backlog right now to where I'm kind of set. But at the same time, too, I love buying stuff on sale and then sticking with that until the next sale period. I have not bought a game at release in flat forever. It's always just wish list things, wait for the Steam summer or winter sale, or pick something up used on eBay years and years later to where I've saved a ton of money on this hobby by just approaching it differently and honestly being out of that multiplayer loop. And so I think I agree. I'm going to be mainly PC focused this next year with some PlayStation 5 stuff. Steam Machine is definitely not in my future. You know, I think the PlayStation 5 fills that role just fine. If anybody has a modern-ish kind of console and they're trying to get that TV experience that the Steam Machine would provide, as cool as it is, and I definitely obviously want one, I don't feel like I'm that target demo who would shell out $7 or $7.50 for something where if you got something that's good enough, you know, you just made a video recently about how great a PlayStation 4 is right now.
Yes.
Like the cost to fun ratio is absurd. Pick one up for $100 and the library of games is just so affordable. That's really the point I want to hammer home is like, you can have so much fun with this hobby without spending very much money. As long as you're willing to A, look used, B, you know, be comfortable in the system that you're leaning into. This is no longer, it's such a dichotomy. I know we're trying to be positive here, but like, yeah, if you were trying to build a PC game or a gaming PC from scratch right now, my goodness, that's so brutal. But there are really effective ways that you can have a ton of fun with this hobby if you're willing to go back a generation.
Yeah. And that's something that I just always appreciate about gaming in general is that as much as we can have any conversations about the current state of the current year of whatever game, we have every year a wealth of new games that we haven't played yet that we can continue sorting through, curating, and then enjoying for future years to come. I'm still discovering games from 2004 that I had never heard of and are a lot of fun to play. I sure as heck am still going to find new games from 2025 in 10 years that I haven't played that I'm going to go back and play and love them. And there are certain trends that continue forward that we're going to see. And so I look forward to 2028's combination year of Baldur's Gate 3 and Astrobot clones that flood the market and provide us some good vibes from these games that I enjoy.
Yes, let's go. I cannot wait for those titles, dude. I was thinking about it. I played through Tomb Raider 2013 this year, got it on a Steam sale for dollars, right? Yeah. And the entire series. And that was one of the most fun games I've played in years. And yeah, I completely missed it when the hype and the marketing and the FOMO and all the stuff was triggering, you know, back in 2013. I just was like, not right now. Yeah. And that is something that is so cool about it, and probably the number one reason why I lean more towards PC. I just, from a pricing perspective, as long as Valve remains sort of the good guy in the scene that they have been, I'm okay with it. It's sort of funny. They've got that monopoly, and I know I've talked about it before, needing to use GOG a lot more in 2026 and looking at their sales more aggressively because I do want to support the DRM-free games. It is funny. When I brought that up, I talked about the importance of physical media and ownership and all this stuff. There is probably like 30 or 40% of the people in the comments who adamantly did not care at all about ownership. We're very forthright in saying, if they ever try and take my purchases, I will take them back by any means necessary, which I do understand. But it was funny. There's quite a few people who are like, It doesn't really matter, dude. You're making this into an issue that doesn't exist. And that surprised me because I think on the physical side of things, I love that this PlayStation 2. Okay, so rounding back out to the platforms that we play, this PlayStation 2 that I've had since I was a kid, I throw a disc in it, still works, you know, and I appreciate that. And maybe I'm super boomer dragoon grandpa at this point, and that isn't an issue that super matters, but I love buying the disc and having the disc, and I can loan it to you. You've got a shipment of some games coming in tomorrow from me. Heck, you know, yeah. That's so cool. I don't know. What do you think about the retro console stuff going into this next year, physical ownership and the importance, or maybe in lack of importance?
I think we're going to see a lot more of it. I think there's some psychology to be discussed, and this is not something we can dive into here. But I do think there's more weight to your purchases when you buy physical, which you can lead in your favor of like, okay, I bought this thing. It's physically sitting in front of me. I'm more likely to play it. And that is something those of us who still indulge in physical media can relate to very quickly, because that is kind of how we do it. But I think there are a lot of people who acquire, you know, a bunch of Steam sales, a Humble Bundle, a whatever, that can't imagine just having all of that showing up all at once and sitting there knowing that they had no real intention of playing it anytime soon. And I think there's, it's kind of the ignorance is bliss, and this is not meant to be insulting whatsoever. It's a true, like, some people, and I often even, like, this isn't just other people think, but, like, often you don't want to think about some of your worser habits because you just don't have the spoons for it right now. Like,
yeah,
people who just watch streaming things and just, you know, are following a feed, at some point they're going to have a reason to care and a reason to reevaluate their relationship with it. But in the moment, or even I dive into TikTok feeds, Instagram feeds, YouTube feeds, whatever, when I'm like peak stress or just too busy to really make decisions.
Yep.
Having it fed to you is a lifesaver sometimes. And so a lot of people are living in that regular, like, they don't have the spoons to really evaluate this right now. And I think that's okay. Like, no judgment by any stretch. It's just, we got to be able to recognize when we're in different places in life. And I think that's really important. For me, physical all the way. I understand I am super privileged to have space to store all this junk. I think there are strategies, if it's a really big deal, that you can implement in terms of like CD binders instead of cases on a shelf. And also not holding on to everything. If you really don't want to have the same games in your space for 20 years, you don't have to. Like, that's part of the benefit, is you get to pass them along. Frankly,
you'd also put a lot of discs in a binder, by the way. Yeah, I know everybody's like you're hoarding
CD binders that are the size of a PS5. Like, that'll last you forever. But also, like, you can pass that along. You can pass it to your kids or cousins or to the library, to donations. There, you can put them in the little library boxes if you want to give them out. Give them out for Halloween. Kids freaking love getting random stuff like games and stuff for Halloween. There were some funny Reddit posts of people collecting like 500 copies of Titanic on VHS to give out on Halloween. I love goofy stuff.
Oh, that's
like that.
So cool.
But like, I think ownership continues to be more important as we feel less and less control over everything happening right now, at least technologically. And I don't think we're going to return to a world where like that's the default, but I think especially as people feel their wallets tightening and whatever, like, you kind of want to make more conscious decisions about what you're buying.
Yeah, I love it. Why don't we just close the video right there and then go record that collecting commentary, because I'm all amped up to hear your thoughts on it. The last thing I will say before we wrap, my favorite device this entire year is the 8-bit Doe Ultimate Wireless 2, whatever the order is. That controller is incredible. You have one, don't you?
I have two, and I'm probably buying a third.
Yeah, how is this not the best controller ever?
It is. Like, and funnily enough, one of the best features about it, the Steam Deck, the new Steam controller, is leveraging, which is that the charge dock is also the wireless receiver. And so you put it on the dock, it's charging it, you pull it off, it reconnects and plugs into your computer and is recognized. That is super convenient. Obviously, like, I have arguments in favor of having just standardized batteries instead of a built-in rechargeable one. That is something I run into, like, with the DualShock 4s right now. I wish they just took AA's like the Xbox controllers, because it'd be a whole lot easier to maintain them. I imagine there is some repairability aspect to these, although I'm looking at it and there's not a single screw hole. So I don't know there. But, like, I have been a massive Xbox controller hater for one reason. One reason remains. Used to, I had a lot of desync issues, and there was all the Dead Zone tuning and Halo and all that stuff. But every Xbox controller released with the Xbox One forward has the right bumper, the R1 and L1, LB, RB buttons. They taper down towards the trigger. This is seemingly purely an aesthetic design choice, but means with my hand physiology, my hand size, whatever, if I go to squeeze the trigger, I squeeze the bumper.
Yeah.
And it leads to so many mispresses. Whereas this controller not only has four extra buttons because it has bumpers on the back and an R4 and L4 button next to the trigger and bumper, which admittedly I've never used, but I could at some point. The bumpers are not tapered down so that I can comfortably fit my hand and not accidentally squeeze them. And it, otherwise, it's just a glorious controller. Low latency, wireless. You got trigger stops that you can control. Like I said, you got back bumpers. It can do the wireless receiver or Bluetooth. I do wish they had a symmetrical sticks option. I'm more of a DualShock symmetrical stick person myself. But, like, it's a glorious controller. I just hyped up the thing you were bringing up. I'm sorry.
No, I love it. I think they might have one of the variations that looks more like a classic controller that has the similar feature set and has the PS5 or, like, the PlayStation kind of... analog stick arrangement, but it's like price history wise, this thing's $50 most of the time on Amazon, and it's got 2.4 gigahertz. It's got Bluetooth. It's got TMR joysticks, so the kind of Hall effecty joysticks. You've got the assignable back buttons. You've got two extra buttons up by the triggers, which actually are, I've come to love them. Very easy to reassign, some cool lighting, and a charging dock. And the charging dock has a really sick little dongle built in that you can plug into like virtually everything. This thing works on just about everything. The moment you lift the controller off the charging dock, it's detected by your machine, your PC, or whatever. I will probably never buy a really expensive Xbox pad again.
Yeah.
Because for $50, you get this thing which has the flexibility for virtually all the platforms you would ever need. And I was even able to throw an FPS control freak on that right stick epos, and it just feels perfect. So
I also wanted to add the rumble in it is like really smooth. I use a lot of third-party controllers where the rumble, like, you hear it, even in first-party sometimes, you hear it rattle, and, like, it just doesn't feel good. Whereas this one, it's, like, super smooth. I love it.
It's pretty rad. All that will be down in the description below, and definitely check out the links down there for the collecting video, which I think we're going to go record right now. So, Epos, thank you very much
for
your time, good sir. And thanks, everybody, for watching. Have a good rest of your day.
Bye.